Podcasting from the Garden State, welcome to another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update, presented by Stark & Stark, a 100-attorney law firm with offices in Princeton, Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, and New York. The New Jersey Legal Update is a weekly podcast providing the latest information on legal developments impacting those living or doing business in New Jersey.
Good morning. My name is Chris Florio. I'm a shareholder here at Stark & Stark in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. And today I'm going to discuss briefly a case that came out in November of 2005 called Bachy versus Wyndham Place. The consternation that this case is causing associations throughout the state, number one, is the fact that it's an appellate division case that's been published. And as a result of it being published, it now has ramifications for any condominium association in New Jersey. Just by way of aside, I'm also on the board of the New Jersey chapter of Community Associations Institute and also the president of the Community Association of New Jersey's Political Action Committee. And as a result of these affiliations, I'm very familiar and involved with dealing with these types of things that now seem to be coming out on a daily basis. Briefly, what this case is about was an association that adopted, by way of a resolution, a capital contribution fee to be paid by individuals who are purchasing in this particular association. The fact that there's a capital contribution being charged is not unusual. The problem here for the court was the fact that this was done by a resolution of the board with no authority within the governing documents allowing it to have been done. What continued on is the fact that the court, when it got a hold of this case, this is the appellate level, basically said that they were looking at two different individuals, a person who's living there and a person who is purchasing, and advising the association that you're treating people that we, the court, consider to be similarly situated differently. That is, that individual who is buying, the court said, is in the same position as the person who's already there. If we have some time, we'll get a little bit to the problems that I have with that rationale. But that's essentially what the court decided, is that you cannot, by resolution, in a condominium context, charge a capital contribution because you're treating people differently who are similarly situated. What we've been trying to tell our clients now, essentially, because of this case, is anybody who is living in a condo, our clients now need to really consider whether or not it seeks to continue to charge these capital contributions by resolution. We've advised our clients that you really should not be doing that unless you are reserving those funds and are prepared sometime in the future to pay back in the event that there's a problem. The way I think that condos need to look at this from this point forward is as follows. You need to look in your governing documents and you need to make a determination where you stand. And the way that I've advised my clients is I'm looking at this five different ways, and I'm going to discuss the five different ways of putting yourself in the best shape in the order of strongest to least favorable. The best way I think that a community condo association will be able to continue charging these fees is if it's already in your documents. That is, if you've got a set fee, say your bylaws allow you to charge a $250 set fee, that's been being charged from day one. So every single person who's purchased has bought there knowing they're paying $250, and every person who's conveyed it has paid $250. So everybody has always paid the same amount. That's being in the best shape. The second way is if your documents say that you are to charge 2 to 3 months of a maintenance fee. The problem there is while everybody's paying 2 to 3 months maintenance fees, fees go up. So there could be a different charge that was charged in 95 versus a charge today, because we all know that expenses continue to go up. That's the second best. The third best is if you've amended your documents. That is, if your membership has authorized the board to charge a capital contribution. The problem with that is I don't yet know how long it needs to be in effect in order to try and get away from any type of attack. My sense is the longer that amendment's been in place and the more turnover within the community, the less you're inclined to have an adverse case against you. The fourth would be another amendment, but you've not had it in place that long. That is maybe 2 years or less. less turnover than a place that's had an amendment there for, say, 6, 7, 8 years. And, of course, the last one is what this Machieve case does deal with, is the fact if you do it by resolution. Again, I think you need to steer clear from that at this point, unless you are willing to reserve those monies. Now, if you are an association that wants to continue doing it by resolution, there's a particular way that I think you may want to try or could try that's not yet been tested, and that is as follows. The Machieve Court said that you are treating people differently. You're treating the same people who are in an association differently, and they essentially put a buyer on the same level as somebody who's already there. Well, I disagree with that. The way that I think you may be able to attack it is before you start a resolution charging new people these fees, what you should do is charge everybody who is there right now. If everybody who's living there right now is paid the same fee, I think it will lessen the chance that you will be open to an attack, that you're treating people similarly situated differently. Now, of course, that does not take into account those folks who had bought years and years ago and moved out. So you're never really going to be able to solve a problem or actually a fact that occurred years and years ago. But I think that's one of the ways, if you are of the mindset that you're going to charge by resolution, that you should continue to do so only if you consider doing it this way. My sense in terms of the case itself is I don't believe that the facts should have allowed this case to have gone this way. If you think of it rationally, when you're buying a home, a capital contribution payment is a prerequisite to becoming a member. And if you think of it logically in terms of when you buy a house, if you have a mortgage, the first thing you do is you execute your mortgage documents. You don't get a deed from the association and become a member in the association until you've gotten to the next phase, which is the sellers coming into your lawyer's office, giving you a deed after you've given them money. So if you look at it logically, just from a factual standpoint, you aren't a member until you've gotten that deed. And to become a member, you must first pay this fee. So at some point in the future, unless this case goes by the wayside, I think that we'll have another opportunity to attack it. But the audience should also be aware that CAI does have a bill pending that would allow associations who have this in their governing documents to continue to do so. Assemblyman Scalera out of North Jersey has introduced this in the Assembly. CAI is backing the bill, and it's hopeful that within a year or so that we'll have enough support to get this through, and then folks can continue to charge as they have done in the past. I'm very happy to have discussed this with you today. If you have any questions, again, my name is Chris Florio, a shareholder here at Stark & Stark. You can reach me either on my direct line at 609-895-7335, or feel free to give me an email at cflorio, that's C-F-L-O-R-I-O, at Stark, S-T-A-R-K, hyphen Stark.com. Have a good day.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's installment of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark & Stark. And be sure to join us each and every Friday for another insightful discussion. We'd like to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Stark & Stark and the services we provide, email us at podcast@stark-stark.com.